What's going on, Badger fans? Who is the fastest Badger? Let's talk Badger football. Let's do it. Let's get excited. On Wisconsin, let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Badgers, your team every single day. Really do appreciate you tuning in wherever you're finding the show. YouTube, podcast, wherever it is, thank you so much for letting us steal a bit of your day today. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is the official sports book of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And the social media game this staff has just continues to be so much fun to follow along. Brady Collins, the new strength and conditioning director, has been on the show. I think we'll be able to get him back on the show, which I'm super excited about. You know, he's done a great job, much like this staff, of building a presence, building an excitement around the program. And we've talked about this before with the old staff, the previous staff, and how that just wasn't as much of a priority. And to be fair, you know, college football has changed a lot the last couple of years. And now I think you have to market your program a certain way, because if you're getting fans excited, you're getting boosters excited. Right. And boosters pay NIL. I mean, it's not quite as simple as that, but it's also at times kind of simple as that. Right. Football's fun. Sports are fun. Fans enjoy following this stuff. Right. It's not Fort Knox. You don't need to put secrets in the basement and hope they never come to light a day. I thought the previous staff was too closed with that. This new staff, it's been a lot of fun to watch. It's still the off season. You know, they have to win on the field, but the social media stuff has been awesome. We're talked about in the start of the show, the fastest Badger. Brady Collins has been releasing speeds and miles per hour from 20-yard sprints of players. And we've released several of them now. So I wanted to kind of take a look at those. And what stood out with the speed marks that we're starting to see from positional groupings, players that are surprising to me, players that I think are going to be able to play early this year, and how some of those speed metrics back that up. So the first one I want to talk about is Will Pauling has been at or near the top of every one of these. Will Pauling, the Cincinnati transfer coming in, his film is so much fun to watch, his high school film. We had John Garcia Jr. on, and he is just explosive in the open field. And then we're seeing these speed marks for Pauling, 21, 21.7, right? Every post we see with Brady Collins talking about speed, Pauling is at or either at the top, like literally at the top, or in the top two or three. So I think the speed is as advertised. This is the type of player Wisconsin has desperately been looking for offensively for, I don't know, how 10 years, right? Since maybe Brandon Williams. Like, he fills that kind of slot explosiveness role that we think Tretch Kekahuna might as well. But that was the guy that they were trying to get. You think about some of the players that have cycled in and out of here, you know, Stephen Bracey. They were hoping he could be that type of player. Obviously, Aaron Cruikshank they were hoping he could be that type of player. I still think Cruikshank probably could have been. Bracey never got healthy. There was Andrew James. There's a name right there. I think he was the receiver out of Florida that came up and was here for like a year before he had injuries. They just haven't been able to find that shifty, explosive slot receiver that can run an option route on third and seven, get a first down, and can also just explode in the open field. Pauling, I think, is going to be that guy potentially. And it's really nice to see these speed marks back that up. So that's something that I've seen a lot of that's been interesting to me to follow that. Keontez Lewis posting a 21.7. And by the way, let me put this up. So if you're watching on YouTube, I have some of the speeds here. You'll just see it scrolling on the bottom so you can follow along with that. This is just off one of the lists that Brady Collins gave out. But Keontez Lewis posted an almost 22-mile-an-hour speed. Again, a bigger receiver. We saw the deep threat ability last year. Look for him to really explode in this Phil Longo offense, right? He's going to be more space. He's not going to be the primary guy. I think you're going to see a lot of deep shots to Keontez Lewis because he's got the size and the speed, and I just can't wait to see that unfold. Cade Yekemele, somebody I've talked about a lot. Somebody I'm going to talk about in my next segment too, I think. He's on all these as well, and they moved him from safety to receiver. He played all over the field in Pennsylvania as a high schooler. He is going to be... I think he's going to play a lot this year. I've said it. I think he's going to play a lot as a running back. And you see, again, the speed and explosiveness. His high school athletic testing was, frankly, off the charts. He's a beast. He's got good size. And now we're seeing him put up these speed numbers. We know he can run. He's probably a 4-5-ish guy, but he's got good size, good hands, all-around versatile athlete. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play really well. I think he has third down running back written literally all over him. Maybe even this year. We're going to see. But I think he could fit into that role because I'm not sure. Braylon and Chez, I think, are your 1-2. And then maybe you bring in a guy like KD Akinmele third down if he can pick up the blocking schemes. And he's going to give defenders a hard time. He's a very, very athletic player. And these speed marks, again, back that up. Another one that's interesting to me is DeCluna. Jonas DeCluna ran an almost 21-mile-an-hour sprint on one of these. You know, for a long time, the Badgers have, and this is why DeCluna's is interesting to me, for the long time, the Badgers have had kind of a either-or at cornerback, right? And there are exceptions. I'm painting with a broad brush, obviously, but they've had a bit of an either-or. You're either going to be taller and running kind of a 4-6, or you're going to be shorter and more explosive, but you're going to be shorter, you know? And sometimes we're not even getting either of those in the past, right? There's been plenty of kind of undersized, really technically competent cornerbacks, but DeCluna is a 6-foot dude, long arms, and it looks like he has some speed to burn as well. So it's really nice to see him on that list. It's hard to find cornerbacks that can run that are 6-foot, 5'11 with long arms. Alexander Smith's in that. Avion Jones is kind of in that mix as well, I think. I think he's going to be really good this year. So it's nice to see DeCluna coming in early on that mix. And the other one that got me interested and excited is Tommy McIntosh was on one of these lists running almost 21 miles an hour, I think, 20.5 miles an hour. McIntosh being that 6'6 frame, right? If he's in, he's probably not the start and stop of a Pauling. He's certainly not the start and stop of a Pauling or that kind of in the slot receiver. But if he can long stride his way to 20, 21 miles an hour at 6'6, 230 pounds, 220 pounds, who knows, right? Who knows the end result there? But the ball of clay suddenly seems a lot more interesting, right? Because that was one of the questions is, how is he going to react to getting a little bigger? Is he going to slow down? Obviously, the book is not written there. But it looks like he still has that speed to be a receiver or maybe an interesting type of a receiver tight end hybrid for Phil Longo to play around with. So something interesting there as well. And the other thing I want to talk about is a lot of new speed on these lists, right? When you start seeing these come out, you see Jace Arnold, you see DeCluna, you see Pauling, you see Quincy Burroughs, you see Braydon Moore, right? You also see Austin Brown, by the way, but he was recruited obviously in the previous class. But about half of these lists that you see, the fastest receivers in this 20-yard sprint are either new transfers or new recruits, right? So there has been an influx of speed in this program. And I think we're going to continue seeing that as the staff kind of, they're just going after different things. For better or worse, we're going to find out. But I think we've seen an upgrade in athleticism just from these testing numbers. I can't wait to see how it translates. But it's exciting to me. And again, it's very exciting just to see the steady stream of social media. It is doing nothing but continuing to fan the fires that are Badger fandom and how excited we are for this football season coming up. So excited for that. Again, we're going to try to get Brady Collins back on the show. And this is one of the things we're specifically going to talk about: miles per hour speed. How do you do this testing? And who is the fastest Badger on the team? I'm thinking it's either Keontae Lewis or Will Pauling, but we're going to find out. Jace Arnold's definitely in that mix as well. So a lot of speed on the edges coming in just this last year. All right, let's keep going here. We're going to take a quick break for friends of our show, FanDuel. But coming up next, we're going to talk about some surprise football players. Who are some players who I think either haven't been talked about a lot or haven't been talked about at all that I think could step in this upcoming season and play a real role in this football team? We're going to talk about that next coming up on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. It is the midpoint of the NBA season, even past that really, but we've just had the All-Star break. We're coming out of it. Perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. That's incredible. It's a ton of bonus bets back that you can use however you would like to use them. Download the free FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And then bet on everything from the money line, point scores, three-pointers drained, same-game parlays, assists, rebounds, blocks. However you want to do it, money line, multiple teams. It is a ton of fun. It's incredibly easy to use. I've talked about my Phoenix Suns bets. Minus 10 Charlotte tonight. I'm all over that one as well. Durant is making his son's debut. I'm super excited for that. Plus, again, combine multiple bets into same game parlays. Don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. When you're done here, go check out Locked On College Basketball. All the biggest stories, scores, players, personalities, interviews, all in one spot, like only Locked On can provide. Locked On College Basketball. Okay, let's keep going here. Let's talk about some surprise players that I don't necessarily want to say surprise players, but some players that either weren't in a role last year, maybe they're new recruits, transfers, or players that I think were maybe a little buried that I think could play a role this year. And I want yours as well. Put them in the comments below. Let me know your list of two or three surprise players that you're looking out for that you think could make a dent in this depth chart. And I'll talk about those on the next show. We'll get your list up here as well, because I'm very excited to see what everyone's thinking here. The first thing I wanted to say, and I've talked about this before, right? A new staff is going to come in with a brand new vision on everybody. And the offensive line coach said that. The name is blanking me right now, but you know, he said, like, I purposely am not going to watch a ton of film from last year's guys. I want everyone to have a clean slate. And I think that's going to be true mostly across the board, right? With an entire new coaching staff, a new strength and conditioning department, everyone's getting a fresh set of eyes. So there's going to be players that either switch positions that we're not expecting. There's going to be players that leave the program, most likely, that we're not expecting. And there's going to be players that step up into roles that we're not expecting, just because everyone has a bit of a clean slate and that built up seniority, that built up loyalty, for better and worse, by the way. That's not always a bad thing, but those things are gone. So we're going to see some new players step into roles. I'm going to give you a couple that I'm super interested in seeing that either weren't here last year or I think could step into a role that people weren't expecting necessarily. The first one's Jace Arnold. I think Jace Arnold comes in with a real shot to earn time at that slot nickel cornerback position, that guy who can match up with really shifty players. Physically, he's really fast. We've talked about it. We've seen the testing numbers. John Garcia Jr. has talked about it, said he would be faster this year than any Ohio State receiver coming in. So he gives you an element of speed that you can never have enough of in space to cover some of these weapons, cover some of these receivers. He's also a confident player, really well-spoken, intelligent, comes from, you know, I had him on the show. He's definitely somebody who understands what's in front of him. I think he's going to work hard for it. But I just think the speed, the testing metrics are going to put him in a position where Wisconsin doesn't have an established nickel corner right now, right? They don't have somebody coming back that played a ton and is slotted into that role. You have Alexander Smith on a boundary spot, maybe Ricardo Hallman, Avion Jones at the other spot with DeCluna coming in. Jason Maitre is the Boston College transfer. Maybe he's in that role, but he could play boundary corner. He could play safety a little bit as well. He's pretty versatile. I think Arnold could play this year. I'm excited to see where he falls on the depth chart after as we're going into week one. I'm very excited for that one. The other one we talked about a ton on this show, probably shouldn't surprise anybody, but still this kind of fits the criteria of somebody who wasn't here last year, Tretch Kekahuna. Now, I think him and Pauling potentially are battling for some of those same reps, and Pauling may have a bit of the edge with experience. He's obviously very fast as well. But Tretch, when you watch his film, he checks all the boxes. Right, physically, he's developed enough to play right now. His level of competition coming out of the high school ranks is as good as you're going to get, period. He played at two powerhouse schools with St. Louis High School in Hawaii and out in Bishop Gorman in Nevada. I think he could play right away. And maybe him and Pauling find situations where they're both on the field, causing all sorts of havoc. He's going to be able to run after the catch. He's physically sound. Yeah, he could play right away because there's just not a lot of receivers on the roster quite like him. There's more boundary receivers, bigger receivers, vertical deep threats, but there's not a ton of guys to work in that space in the middle of the field that can come out of the slot. I think it's Tretch and Pauling, and I think they're going to battle for reps, and it wouldn't shock me either way. And both will probably get reps. You know, Phil Longo's talked a lot about, rotating receivers, making sure people don't tire out. So both are going to play, I think, but it wouldn't surprise me too, especially as the season goes on, you know, get a preponderance of reps going towards Tretch. My next one here is Michael Jarvis. Jarvis has always been an interesting player for me as a defensive end in the 21 class. Kind of came in unheralded. I think he did have some late recruiting hype. I believe there was a Florida State offer that kind of came into the mix for him, but he came in relatively unheralded, you know, kind of 6'5", 240, 6'4", 240, that strong side defensive end. He's up to 6'4", 290, and he really started to generate some practice buzz as well, as a guy who came in more physically developed than they expected, who was making some plays kind of behind the scenes. I'm excited to see what he's going to be doing as a sophomore, 6'4", 290, and that defensive line needs playmakers, right? We just didn't generate a lot from the edges last year. It was mostly Keanu Benton. It was mostly Nick Herbig. Those defensive end spots, I think there's room there for somebody to step in if they can show out. I think Jarvis is in a position where maybe we see that this year. So I'm very excited to see him, his game, how he's progressed. JT Seagreaves is another one for me. And again, let me know in the comments who you think is a surprise player that we're not talking enough about. Seagreaves, to me, 6'6 tight end. In a positional group that has just been beset with injuries, that has no clear-cut starters. I think you could say Clay Cundiff, if he's healthy, is a clear-cut starter, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I hope he does, obviously. But Seagreaves is right there, been in the program for a year, very athletic for a tight end, multi-sport guy, basketball dude, focusing on football. I think he can be a red zone threat. I think he's athletic. I can't wait to see him this year. I think he's going to play. It'll depend on how Phil Longo, how much they use the tight ends in this offense. Phil Longo is going to adapt to what he has. And I think the receiver group and depth chart is deeper than tight ends. So maybe we go more the route of using those players. But I think Seagreaves is a guy who can step up and play a big role this year, potentially, and surprise a lot of people with his athletic ability. And the last one is Julius Davis. And again, this kind of falls into, okay, everybody gets a clean slate, right? And Julius Davis, again, it's not a deep running back room. I've talked about Cade Yacomelli. I think Cade is going to play a role this year. I'm incredibly excited about it. But maybe that third running back is Julius, right? Remember when Julius committed, you're talking about a Wisconsin in-state player that had an LSU offer, that had other big-time offers. You know, he was becoming a real national, not the top type of recruit, but a real national type of recruit. Great high school film, including an incredible 360 hurdle highlight reel that went on SportsCenter. And he's just never really been healthy and been able to put it together. But he's stuck with the program. He's going to get a new look from a new staff. I'm interested, right? That's all I'm saying. I'm interested. He's kind of become the forgotten guy. And now, again, you look at this running back depth chart. Chez, Braylon have both been banged up. We didn't bring anybody in the transfer portal. Maybe this is Julius's year to kind of step into that role, at least as a solid depth piece that's getting a few touches a game. So those are some of the players that I'm interested in seeing, some players that I think may have a chance to step up into roles that we're not expecting. Let me know in the comments again where you're at on that. If there's any players that you think we're not talking about enough, I'm going to throw those into the next show and we'll talk about them. So I'm excited to do that. Coming up next, we're going to take some of your comments. A lot of comments about the show I did yesterday with Barry's the Don, Scary Alvarez on Twitter. Comments on both sides of this. So we're going to talk about that next on Lockdown Badgers. Where are you at on Greg Gard? Continue that conversation because I think there's some new comments that are brought up that I think are enjoyable. But first, a quick word from our friends of the show. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into Lockdown Badgers. Really do appreciate it. Y'all are amazing. You're incredible. If you like the show, hit the subscribe button. It does help. Leave a comment. It does help. Join the Discord. We'd love to have you there and talk Badgers. And a couple of housekeeping things really quick. We are coming to the spring game, the launch. I'll be there. Rajiv will be there. Justin will be there. We're going to get an event. We're going to give out some swag. We're going to have food. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. So hit me up if you want details on that. Logistics are still being kind of worked out there. But yeah, I'm very excited for it. All right, let's get into some comments, some thoughts here. This is from Leroy. He says, in terms of Greg Gard, he says, I hope he's not back. I'm paraphrasing there, but I hope not. I'm tired of boring basketball. The brand of football got stale. Changes were made. Time for a change in the basketball program. It's not an overreaction to want fun and winning basketball. Yeah, listen, it's a fair point. I would say this, and I'm legitimately curious on this. So let me know, Leroy and everyone else too, was last year boring basketball? I'm not asking that question to be snarky, right? Because it's possible you can win games and still not love the style. But last year was a regular season conference championship team. Was that boring? Or is it boring basketball because it's just not very good right now? And I think Greg Gard's going to make this team better. Does that make it less boring? I don't know. It's very interesting to me. Do you care stylistically a ton if we're winning a lot of games? And I think people can have different opinions on that, which I'm totally all about. So let me know, because I don't remember, and this is me personally talking now, I don't remember last year being boring. I really don't. I loved watching Johnny. I liked Hepburn. Wall had some mojo. I'm a big Davison fan. Like, I was entertained last year. So let me know, Leroy. Let me know if last year was bad, because if last year wasn't boring for you, the issue is talent then. It's not as much stylistic. But if last year was boring for you, even in a winning season, then yeah, you're not going to be happy with Greg Gard probably ever. And I respect it. I disagree with it, but I respect it. All right, David P. says, I don't know how they'd have room for two transfers, but they definitely got to get at least one that is productive and ideally some sort of athletic wing. Yeah. Yeah. So I've talked about, me and Barry Zidane talked about needs next year, and he went big man, another guard, another shooter potentially. All those are needs. However, I think an athletic wing, somebody who can guard 6'6 players on the other team, someone who can get in transition just a little bit when the Badgers do want to push, someone who can just fly in and get rebounds and a few offensive putbacks, I think that is a huge need for this team. I think they need to find a dude on the wing. And I think John Blackwell, by the way, is going to play some of that role next year. But they need a dude on the wing that can go in, get 8 points, 4 rebounds, a block, and a steal, right? And consistently match up and hold his own against the opponent's 6'6 wing or 6'6 guard. And I think that's a massive hole in this roster right now. That's where I would love for them to target in the portal. Now, to your point about room, scholarships are an issue. They really are. And I don't know. I don't know how to say it without saying there might have to be some tough conversations in places, but I'm curious to see how that roster management portion of the offseason goes, because scholarships are an issue. It's not like there's a ton of room right now to bring in multiple transfers unless people do end up leaving. So something we're going to have to definitely monitor there. David P. goes on to say, I don't think it's reasonable to say the program is trending down unless the idea of a trend is year to year, which is nonsensical. You need to have at least a 3-year stretch of data. So this is kind of what I was saying earlier, and I agree with this. David, thank you for the comments and jumping in. We won the Big Ten last year. So when people say it's trending down from what? And this is something, again, we talked about on yesterday's show. If last year was a good year, and by the way, people will disagree with me. Last year was a good year. No one's ever going to be able to convince me last year is not a good year because you didn't go far enough in March. You won the friggin' Big Ten. It's a good year, okay? Disagree with me if you want. Totally cool. I will die on that hill. If you win the Big Ten regular season title, no matter what happens in March, you had a good basketball year. So if I think last year's a good year and this year's a bad to mediocre year, whatever you want to call it, to me, that's not trending down. That's just kind of a year-to-year thing. And if next year's a good year, are you suddenly trending up again? I don't know. I think you need to zoom out, and this is what David's saying, and take a bigger view of this. And if your bigger view after zooming out is we're trending down because of X, Y, and Z, maybe guard certainly isn't beating teams at the level that Bo Ryan was, that's more of a fair argument to me. All right, Commandant Kling jumps in and says, next year's a big year for the basketball program. That is all I have to say. Totally agree, Commandant. Thank you for the comment. Next year is a huge, enormous year. It's either going to kind of right the ship and get that momentum going again, or if it's more the same, then the seat is going to get to be a little warm, and justifiably so. It has to look a little different next year. I agree with that. George Stacy says, winning the Big Ten is fine, but postseason failures have come to be normal and accepted. So again, George, thank you for the comment, man, and dialing. This is again where, and I think people who watch the show enough know, I don't try to cherry pick comments of people that just agree with me. I try to throw comments of people who agree, disagree, because I think that's representative of a community, and I think we can have better discussions and learn more from each other that way. So again, this is where a guy like George and I kind of disagree. Like I don't understand why we gloss over the winning the Big Ten, right? Winning the Big Ten is fine. No, winning the Big Ten is great, in my opinion. It's not fine. It's really good. But postseason failures have come to be normal, accepted. See, I don't think they've come to be accepted. Now, I do think George is correct that guard needs to be better in the postseason. I've said it on record. I'll say it again. I have never in my life really cared about the Big Ten tournament. Some people do, and that's totally fine. No issues with it. Everyone fans how they want to fan. I don't give a crap about the Big Ten tournament unless my team needs it for seeding. So this year, I'm probably going to care. But March, Greg Gard has not been good enough in March. And that is 100% factual statement from George. I agree with it. I think he's been a little snake bitten with the COVID year and with Johnny Davis and Chucky Hepburn getting hurt. But those are also excuses, right? And people don't want to hear that when you're making a lot of money to coach the flagship program. And I understand that too. So he has to get better there. 100% agree. I do find it weird though that we do seem to gloss over a regular season title. But maybe it just doesn't matter as much to people. And that's fair as well. Let's keep going here. This one's from Gold Digger. He says, I agree with many that Gard needs to improve the talent level. Not sure his style of play or recruiting ability will allow for that. I hope so, though. I'm willing to give him a chance to change. Yeah, I think this, a lot of people have gotten to a point where they think it's a stylistic thing. Like Gard, it's the Paul Chryst argument, right? Like you can't get receivers because the system isn't exciting for them. And then because you can't get those weapons, your system can never evolve past where it is. And you become this circular thing of, well, how do you get better athletes if the system, you can't get the athletes to improve the system to sell to those athletes, right? It becomes really an interesting thought exercise in your head. But I think we've seen him get really good players with this system. I'm telling you right now, and people in a year from now, or a year or 2 years from now, if he's a total bust or it doesn't work out, call me out on it. I'm telling you right now, Gus Yaldin is a star and he got him. Connor Sejan is a star and Greg Gard got him. Johnny Davis is an NBA player and Greg Gard got him. Nolan Winter's a really good pickup and Greg Gard got him. I think Greg Gard can recruit with this system. And now he has to cast a wider net, right? You have to land more than just a few players and say, those are my hits. You have to have those hits plus solid depth pieces. And that's where it really hasn't clicked for Greg Gard. I think this offseason is going to be enormous for him. And we're going to see how he changes. If he does, if he changes nothing and nothing happens, like he doesn't attack the portal a little harder, the depth continues to be problematic. Greg Gard's probably not going to be here for that much longer, right? It's probably a couple years if he doesn't adjust a little bit. I don't think he has to adjust wholesale, but if he doesn't adjust a little bit, I don't think he's going to be here much longer anyway. So I anticipate seeing some differences. Gard has acknowledged they need to add athleticism and depth. So I'm excited to see it. Let's go here. Last one here from B-Dub. He says, should this all be on Gard? Is the university doing enough in the PR world? Will the football team excitement help with basketball recruiting? Much bigger picture here than just Greg Gard on an island. Yeah, I would be fascinated to see, and I've had some off-the-record talks about this. I want to try to go into this more, the differences kind of behind the scenes recruiting-wise with football and basketball. I'm very interested in it. I don't know much more than that right now, but you know, it does feel like the PR marketing side of football. And listen, football drives the boat. So maybe that shouldn't really surprise us, right? Football is the big program, the big moneymaker. That's what has the most eyeballs. More people are invested in football. Certainly the recruiting department has to be bigger because you're dealing with much larger rosters. And still, you would like to see some energy on the basketball side akin to what we're seeing on the football side. And I am very curious, along with BW, if we're going to start seeing a little bit more of that. So interesting to me. Great question. Thank you, everybody, for dialing in, for the questions, for the thoughts. Really do appreciate it. On Wisconsin, we're going to talk again tomorrow. Got Purdue coming up. We're going to go live. Oh, we're doing a live watch party of the Purdue game. So join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. On Wisconsin, and let's keep it going.